Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, well, there we go. Got a little strange there for a second. Sorry, guys. What's going on? Happy Tuesday night to you. Hope things are going well. Hope things are doing well for you. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live right here on Spreaker Radio. It's going to be a great night tonight, guys. It's going to have a great conversation, a lot of fun, a lot of interesting information to give away, I think, is what we're going to give away tonight, man. Sorry, I had the intro playing so long there because I was trying to copy the link that it gives me after the fact once the show starts. So it kind of made things a little bit more... difficult, and I guess we're still working with a little bit of issues with our Skype, but we're trying to figure it out right now as we go. I think things are working out. I think Dave's with me right now. Dave, do I have you finally?
Yep, I'm here.
Dude, I can't tell you what's happening here. I think everything's messed up with my Wi-Fi, but we're getting it figured out. I may have to move into a different room, but I think we got it straight, man. I played the intro for way too long, man. I know you couldn't hear it, but I was trying to copy the link, and I was trying to type, and my iPhone doesn't let me type as fast as I'd like to. Yeah, well, I'm trying to type, and my iPhone's not letting me do it, man. What's going on? How are you? Sorry, I apologize. We'll have to fix this up. We're going to figure this stuff out with this Wi-Fi. It's a connection issue I'm having, but we're going to get taken care of, man. What's going on with you? How's your week been?
Pretty good. It's actually been a blur. I've been doing a lot, just kind of going hard with it, so in a good way, though. So it's been good. Tired.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot going on because you just started a new job, right?
Yeah. Orientation was Tuesday and Wednesday last week, and then started Thursday, and then worked until today.
So what is your actual title, and where are you working? Because I think we talked about it on the show, but never said it. Well, we might have said it at the live show last week.
I'm a line chef at Tuscany inside of Mohegan Sun.
A very nice place, huh? Doing well for yourself. Not a bad place to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I dig it. I like it a lot. It's a pretty cool place just to walk into alone, but actually working there, it's got its perks, too.
Yeah, I bet, man, I bet. Well, for me, I just, you came out and did a pig roast with me. We talked about that last week, but I just finished up my season out in Montauk, and I'm recuperating, man. I had the day off yesterday, and the family came out and stayed out in Montauk with me, so we had some fun hanging out there, but I'm exhausted, brother.
Oh, dude, I can imagine. You go nonstop when you're out there, for sure, and then... You're doing the radio show and everything on top of that. I bet you're pretty excited for some downtime, huh? Like,
Yeah, I think so, man. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. Oh, you know what? I forgot to play your intro music. There we go. I got it now. There we go. Because I got all fumbled and fumummist. Fumummist is a new word I just made up. I got all messed up there when the Wi-Fi broke on me again.
Nice. Fumummist?
Fumummist. Yeah, I can spell it.
I like it. It sounds like it could be like a Middle Eastern dish.
Ooh, fumummist. It sounds delicious. I'd like to have some fumummist with some seared duck, please.
Nice.
Well, dude, we got a fun show tonight, man. And the guy coming on tonight, my buddy Kevin, Kevin Bagley from Star 99, from Connoisseur Media. I wanted to have him on, and it seems weird for a food show, but you get it, right, Dave? Like, the whole world's changing with digital content and things like that. You know, and here is Kevin, who is slowly taking this radio station, you know, not single-handedly by any means, but he's definitely played a big role in it. And these guys are still kicking ass and like, doing their thing, and they're everywhere. They're all over the place here in Western Connecticut. And so I kind of want to see about how digital content, especially so much of it now, is changing the world of, like, FM radio. It makes sense, I think, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, this is pretty much digital content that we're doing right now, and a lot of radio stations are going that way and still having their FM station.
Well, you know, I even said with Restaurant Road Trip, they cared way more about our Facebook views than actual ratings on the television channel.
Yeah, that's because, I mean, like I said, everything's going that way pretty much, even the radio stations. So I think that's kind of becoming more of a factor than what actual daytime TV or daytime radio is becoming.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, you just see, but the point is that you see guys like Kevin who are doing things at his radio station, and they're doing a great job. Like, listen, my wife listens to them all day long when she's working and when she's like driving the kids to school and things like that. That is still live and kicking. And it's funny because whenever I do one of the shows over at Kevin's station, and it is our friend Anna and Raven, I do their show. I get feedback all the time, and people are listening, and people are actually paying attention, and it's interesting because sometimes I get more feedback from that, and I want to talk to Kevin about this, than I even get from doing television, which is kind of crazy.
So if it's something to, like, listen to that has different topics throughout the conversation, then I think that's what's going to hold strong.
Yeah, totally, right? I mean, it's just a different world we live in now. It's so hard to measure it. I think even things like the NFL are having trouble measuring it, you know?
I mean, I haven't been able to watch football in a while.
Well,
Sundays,
mean,
so
you're a Lions fan, right?
Yeah. So I mean, at the you're end of the day, anything. It's kind of like, what's the point?
You're not missing anything,
right?
We got to convert you. Just do me a favor. Don't be a Patriots fan.
I'm sticking with the Lions, man.
There you go. Look, why don't we see if we can get Kevin on the horn here right now, and hopefully our Wi-Fi won't crap out on us. I'd love to talk to him more about this stuff. And the best part is you're about to hear a real radio gentleman's voice come on here. Not this.
Yes, hello.
See, there you go. It's way better than my office. He comes on. It's the buttery beats of Mr. Kevin Bagley. Kevin, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Blum? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man. I know we've talked about it for a while now, about me coming on, but we finally made it happen.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I apologize for any technical glitches you're going to hear, but we're working it out. We're getting it figured out, man. But, yeah, no doubt about it. You're one of the guys who, when I first met, when I went over and did Star for the first time, I was like, that dude's really cool, man. You're always very friendly. You smiled. You waved. And that's such – dude, it sounds so dumb. It's such a little thing. Like, people don't do that enough.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I always try to, especially when people come into the radio station, you know, who I haven't met before, or even people that I know, I always try to make it feel friendly because, you know, a radio station's fun. So, and just in general, just try to be positive and yeah, and just smile a lot. The more you smile, the better your day and your life's going to be. It's true.
Well, Dave, I want to tell you, Dave, just so you know, like, here's the issue right here is that most radio guys you look at are not very attractive human beings. The problem is Kevin's a very attractive guy, and that really makes me upset when I think about the whole situation because I'm not. And I cook food, and I try to talk on the radio, and I'm nowhere near as attractive as this guy, so it makes me crazy.
That's all changing now, though, with social media and video, and like the face for radio thing is sort of over.
Is it? Is that the thing now? Not the thing now?
Right, like that used to be the big joke that people used to make, and now we can't really make it because, you know, everyone who's on the radio now, you see all the time because of social media and video and everything.
Dude, that's, you're right. And social media has changed everything. Even in my business, where I've had actual customers or people who want to hire me for gigs ask me what my social media following is before they hire me. How crazy is that?
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I mean, yeah, people are, because, you know, that's the way that people are reaching their diehard fans now, and getting right almost, literally into their hands.
Right. It's just
on their phones.
That's what they want, though. They want to be able to, like, say, oh, hey, look, this guy's here, or, you know, hey, we're hanging out with this guy from the radio. It's become the world of immediate, you know?
Yeah, people want likes, they want retweets, they want they want followers and all that. But I always say it comes down to the interaction part of it too, because like you just said, like people might say, how many followers do you have? How many likes does your whatever get? How many?
Right.
But if you don't have people commenting and writing back to you and you interacting back with them, then it really doesn't mean anything. I mean, because
0.9, follow him at Kevin Begley on Insta and check him out weekdays from 3 to 7 at star999.com.
There's three nines there. That's three nines there. And I think we kind of lost it for a little bit
of
the plug. But well, so Kevin, you kind of been a radio guy almost your entire career, right? Like, you haven't really done much else. I mean, didn't you worked at Apple for a minute, but that's not really, I mean, that wasn't like a real job, was it?
Yeah, I did that. I did that in between radio jobs. I mean, unless you count like when I was like 16 and working at the grocery store. I was a waiter before I did radio too. That was really
you.
Fun.
Good for you.
And I feel like that helped me actually with being a sort of a people person and interacting with people at events, like, you know, because you really have to talk to people when you're serving tables and really, you know, have a good personality. So in interacting with the public. So that sort of helped. So I feel like every job I've had that's not radio has helped me in my radio career, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing radio. I grew up in Massachusetts, so I've been doing it since like sophomore year of college. So 2000, going all the way back, 2004, 2005 area until
right.
Now.
I was still kicking a Coke habit in 2004, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. Or am I? but listen, so you spent some time, though. You've kind of been all over the country. I noticed I was looking at, in my creepily stalking of your bio and whatnot. Man,
yeah.
You spent some time in L.A. too, right?
Yeah. So what happened was, I grew up in Massachusetts, like half an hour south of Boston, went to college at Curry College, which is also in Massachusetts, and that's where I started doing internships at Boston radio stations. And then I did overnights in Boston when I graduated for about a year. So I did the midnight to six shift, which really doesn't exist at many stations nowadays, because everyone just automates or voice tracks or has a recorded show at night. But back then, that's where you started out your young talent, is in the overnight. So it's like, oh, you want to be on the air, then you have to do midnight to six. So that's what I did in Boston for almost a whole year. And then my boss, who was in Boston at the time, got a job in LA, and he went out there. And a few months later, I told him, because I was only part time in Boston, and I said, I'm looking for a full time. Like, if there's anything out there, I'll pack up and leave tonight. So luckily it was a cool little, alternative station, and they had a lot of celebrity sort of hosts. So Steve Jones, who used to be in the Sex Pistols, the punk band,
very cool,
from the 70s, he had a radio show. He still does, actually, on a different station out there. But I got hired to be his producer and sort of like sidekick type guy. And I did that for about 2 years. And then they flipped that station to Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. So I was out of a job. And then I did part time in LA. I kicked around for a little bit because I was living with my buddies from college out there, and they're all writers and actors and doing that thing out there. So I did that for a little while, and then just couldn't afford to live in LA anymore on part time weekend radio shifts. So then I moved back to Boston. That's when I worked at the Apple Store for a year. And the whole time I was at the Apple Store, I was just sending out resumes and my demo to radio stations across the country, seeing if anyone would hire me. And then I got a job in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
And I moved down there and did afternoons there for a couple years. And then at the time, that cluster of stations down in Richmond was owned by Cox Media Group. And the station I work at now, Star 99.9, they used to be owned by Cox Media Group. So I was like in the Cox Media Group family.
So it's interesting. We've talked about this before, you and I think, a little bit, just briefly. I think we tried to start talking, then something happened, and we had to order drinks or something. But I'm from Richmond. That's where I'm from. I grew up there.
That's right.
I think you were there after I'd already moved up here. You were there, 2004 or something like that?
No, I was there later than that. I was there, 2011.
Right.
It was, well, yeah, it was like 2011 to 2013, that area.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I was a theater major at VCU for
kind of
off and on.
I had a blast in Richmond, man. I loved Richmond. It was it was so fun. And what I like most about it is that when I moved there, so everywhere else that I've lived, I've known people or had friends that I lived with in a house or an apartment. There, I moved there not knowing one person. So the only person I knew was the people I interviewed with for the radio job, and I just met them like, you know, a couple weeks before. So I didn't know one person in Richmond, and that's what I loved about it,
because nice
I
people.
Got to. Yeah, and I got to explore and discover a whole new city where I've never been before, and I made a lot of friends that I, you know, obviously keep in touch with still now.
It's a very artsy city, isn't it?
It is. It's it's super arty, really cool bars. Yeah. I'm sure you know, awesome restaurant scene, great food down there.
Yeah, it's amazing food down there. Hey, did you ever, just speaking of amazing food down there, we're totally digressing, and it's probably boring the shit out of everybody, but like, did you ever do, it's on Broad Street, Lee's Fried Chicken, did you ever try it?
I did. Ah. Yeah, it was delicious.
Did you go inside?
I did go inside, yes.
So did you see the wall mural? It's painted, and they say that Lee was the colonel's brother or cousin or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, someone told me, they're like, you got to go to Lee's Chicken. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. But one of my favorite places down there is Lady Nolan's. I don't know if that was there when you were there.
That wasn't there when I was there.
So it's a bar restaurant, and it's just unbelievable food. A couple of the bartenders are really cool. I made good friends with them. Yeah, Richmond was awesome. I had a blast there.
So I ran Mulligan's in the Fan for years before.
Yep.
I mean, it had really kind of taken a different turn when I left in like 2003, so I hadn't been back in a long time.
Right.
And I had worked at the Jefferson Hotel for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that place is awesome.
So you know the places.
And then the year that I was there, VCU went to the Final Four with Shaka Smart as the coach, and it was like a whole thing.
Dude.
And the school I went to, Curry College, was a little smaller right outside of Boston, so we didn't really have like big teams like that would, you know, go to the Final Four. So that was kind of cool for me, because I got to experience like a college university type town with a huge school and the whole tournament atmosphere and the kids in the streets. Like it was awesome.
Amazing. That didn't happen when I was there. Like that wasn't the thing at all. And that really kind of happened last kind of later half of the first decade of the 2000s or something. But it's a very cool place. That's funny how we kind of have that connection there. It's interesting, man. But what I like to hear, though, is when people like yourself who have lived in so many different places and done things, you talk about the smaller cities like Richmond or, you know, just talking about how they have great food there. Because I think there's a lot of great cities in our country that just people don't know about. They're small cities or small towns that have amazing food. I think here in Connecticut, we have some amazing restaurants, but no one talks about us because we're between Boston and New York.
Right. I totally agree. I think that, you know, there's little gems and that's what's good about, now you can sort of, with the internet, you can find all these places, you know, if you follow blogs or social media or whatever, you can. And then if you visit one of those cities one day, you can try them out. But yeah, I agree. There's so many places here in Connecticut.
Totally.
I've been to Connecticut growing up just because I had friends here. My college roommate actually grew up in Milford, Connecticut. So I used to visit during the summers and winters and come down and visit his family all the time and hang out with all his friends here. So when I got the radio job here in 2012 or 13, it was so weird for me because I was back in Milford where the stations are here, and I was like, wait a second, I used to always come down here in college, like, so I was sort of familiar with the area. So, but yeah, the food is just, I mean, there's so many great places.
So you're a program director, so this quick story I'm going to tell you, something I should probably never ever tell you in case I wanted to try to get a job with you.
All right.
I was
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was the first, and I think only myself and my friend Brad. We call him the Bald Guy. We used to host on VCU's college station. We hosted Plum and the Bald Guy, and we tried to be like Don and Mike. Remember Don and Mike?
Oh yeah,
like Don and Mike, like 1999 Don and Mike when they were still cool. Like,
yeah,
we tried
yeah.
to be not Don and Mike from 2002 when they were like, I mean, 1996 Don and Mike, not Don and Mike from 2001 where they were like, oh, talking about Frida and she's dying and all this. No.
Right. So you're talking about Mike O'Mara, right?
Yeah.
So I got really into his podcast. I'm not as familiar with the Don and Mike with the radio show, but
really,
but I started a friend of mine who grew up in right outside of, actually he's a guy I work with now, okay. But he grew up in Maryland, so like sort of down there, and he said one time, you got to listen to this podcast, and so I started listening. I got hooked just on the podcast, and they would make references to Don and Mike and all those shows, and I'm like, what is that?
Yep.
And then I just slowly started to learn that, oh yeah, he had a whole career before the podcast.
It was insane. Well, we ended up actually getting thrown off the air. I think we might have been the only. I mean, the VCU college station might have reached 7 blocks. I don't know how it's even possible, but we got in so much trouble because we had a stripper in the studio, and she wasn't really even doing anything. We're doing the whole theater of the mind kind of gimmick, but.
It's very stern of you.
Oh, yeah. And there was a show that called themselves, that came on after us. It was a pop punk indie show. And it drove me crazy. And this is the time of my life where I had long hair, a trench coat, and eye makeup. And all I could, not, I just couldn't stand the fact that there was someone that called themselves a pop punk indie show. And so we went on there and we made fun of them. There might have been a word here and there that slipped. And then we had a stripper in. And we got in so much trouble, dude. So much trouble.
And college radio is the best, though. That's the place to get in trouble.
And the best part was, it was the girl that yelled at us was like this little, like 4'9". She had like 47 piercings in her right ear, wore thick glasses, and she's in a super high-pitched voice, and she's yelling at us what we did wrong. And we were like, we're called Plum and the Bald Guy. What are you talking about? I still have some of those cassette tapes, actually, of us doing the show. It was pretty awful.
I love listening to old. So I have cassette tapes too from my college radio station, and I have the thickest Boston accent, and I sound so young and so like awful. It's so bad, but I love it. Like I listen to them sometimes, and I'm like, this is just amazing.
That's so funny, man. Dave, let's see if we can try. Let's try one more time to get a plug in there. I think we broke up the last time. I want to make sure we get Kevin's info out.
All right, sounds good. Hanging out tonight with Kevin Begley, program director and host for Connoisseur Media's Star 99.9. Follow him at Kevin Begley on Insta and check him out weekdays from 3 to 7 at star999.com.
Kev, that's an interesting part too, man, because people can check you out all over the world online, right?
Totally. Yeah. We have an app. We have an app in the App Store people can get, and you can get it on any phone you have. It's in both app stores. We stream online, star999.com. We just started doing the Alexa thing, so you can tell Alexa to play it. We're pretty much anywhere that you can stream or you have an internet connection, you can listen. And then, of course, on the terrestrial radio.
Dude, I tell you what, honestly, it's one of those things, the Alexa's in our kitchen, and we come down in the morning for the kids. Like, the kids will say, play Star 99, and it'll play. It took forever. You used to have to say Star 99.9, today's best mix, and that's what would make it play. But I think now it's a little bit different.
We've sort of fixed it. When those first came out, it was trying to figure out, like, the technology itself. I think everyone was trying to get ahead of it and try to figure out, like, okay, we need to, what keywords do we need and how do we get it to play? And, but you know, those smart speakers, they're still in their early stages, right. The early adopters have had them for a couple of years now, but, that's going to really help, radio going forward. So those smart speakers are really, really going to be a huge asset to radio going forward.
You know, it's funny because I think we almost went through a phase, and I was one of those guys who was like, ah, radio's dying. Who listens to radio anymore? No one's paying attention. I was a big Opie and Anthony fan. I was into all that stuff, and I bought into all the stuff that Opie would always say, and radio's dying. But then I come into your station and hang out on one of the shows or do something, and I get a ton of feedback, especially here in town. I mean, I have kids, and the kids are going to school, and I get a ton of feedback when I'll do television. I told Dave earlier, I get more feedback from doing, shows on your station than I do from doing television, which is really, really interesting to me because it shows that, maybe maybe it's not. Maybe it's actually becoming more so something people listen to. You know, my wife.
Yeah.
She doesn't plug her phone into the car. She turns on Star when she's driving.
Well, yeah. It's. I mean, yeah. You're totally right. Everything you just said is completely true. And you know when that comes out, it's sort of like. To me, like anytime a normal person hears stats, they're like, okay, whatever, like 97%, like they don't really pay attention to that. But the thing for me that really, you know, resonates to people when I say that people still listen to the radio is that, think about it, it's free. It's right. Easy. In a world that we live in where you have a million subscriptions to all these different things that, you know, you're getting charged monthly for all this different stuff, and radio is just free. And it's one button, and you get music, you get personalities, you get content, you get everything that you would ever want, and you don't have to pay a dime for it, and you just hit one button in your car and it's on, or you just, you know, now just tell your smart speaker Alexa to play it, and so it's easy and it's free. It's funny, I always say that some radio should market, you know, they should describe what radio is before saying that it's radio, like it's a new product. So yeah. It's like, okay, we have this new thing that plays music, has really compelling personalities, and go through the whole litany of things that radio provides and say, it doesn't cost anything. It's just one button. You can have it in your car. You can have it in your house. You don't need a subscription. We don't need your email. We don't, like, it's radio. Like, that should be their marketing.
That's really smart, dude. That's actually a really smart marketing technique. Dave, did you hear that?
Because it's totally true.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That's pretty
sure.
Good. That's a pretty, dude, you should do that. That's awesome. Like, in my head, I was like, okay, I like that. That's good. Yep, I like all those things. That's
right, it would
awesome.
Need to be flushed out a little more. I'd need some writers to come in and really flush it out. But yeah, I mean, I joke about it a lot, it is true. You know, it's free, it's easy, and you know, yeah. People, especially like you said with kids, like so, like you get in the car safe. or you're getting ready in the morning, and you don't want to have to like. Put on a playlist and all the and that's not to knock the other services. I mean, I subscribe to everything. I subscribe to satellite. I have Apple Music. I have Spotify. I have all of it.
Yeah.
But you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, a lot of people they just want simple and they want cheap, and that's what radio has.
This is the thing, though. So this is, you know, what I wanted to ask you about radio. Then I'll bring us all back to food and hospitality in a second. But this is a little more self-serving for me to talk radio because I love the radio business. I always have. I think it's incredible. Do you find that the world that we're in now, when it comes to radio, it's more about the personalities and less about the music and stuff? We can get music anywhere. Like, I have Spotify. I got mm-hmm. all that crap, too. Right?
Yeah.
But, like, I find myself, I put Anna and Raven on in the morning because it's familiar. Like, I'll drive home, like, you know, I'll put you on because, like, you know, I know you. Like, I'm used to hearing you. And you may play a dumb Adele song I don't want to hear, but, like, it's, you know, whatever. He's doing his thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you just said is the feedback we get from so many people who listen to the radio. And, you know, a lot of companies will do a coworker and I go to a big worldwide radio conference in L.A. every year. And year after year, the things that come back, they do all these studies throughout the year and then they present them at this conference. And the main reasons why people listen to the radio are for companionship. And so they say, like, keeps me company in the car. Keeps us company when I'm with the kids and I just want to put something on. You know, it's that. I'm familiar with these morning guys or these morning or Anna and Raven, this guy and this girl who I hear every single morning, and I want to hear what they have to say about whatever news story just broke, or I want to hear what they have to say about whatever's happening in the state of Connecticut, or you know, you develop a sort of relationship with the people on the radio. And you know, and like you said, you know, we're a music station, so of course we're going to play the songs that people like. And all the music that people want. And, you know, for me personally, when I was growing up, I used to like the shared experience of hearing a song on the radio and thinking to myself, wait, there's people in traffic over there who are listening to this exact same song, and that there's a DJ somewhere in Boston who just introed this song and said that he loves it, and I love this song. Like, so it's sort of like, it's like, yeah, that guy knows, like, because this song's awesome, and he gets he gets my opinion too. So it's this cool, like, shared experience, you know, which you don't get from, you know, I also like building playlists on Spotify, but you don't get that sort of shared thing where that excitement of like, yeah, this guy just talked on the radio, and he's somewhere in a room down the street, and he said that this song's awesome, and I love it too, you know?
Totally, man. And I have one issue with that whole story you just told. Dave, did we get an invite from Kevin in one of the email boxes to go to that LA thing? I don't think I saw it. Did you get that or no?
I checked. I didn't see one.
No,
so.
We didn't get one. We must have lost that. They just Kev, just let me know. Just double check that for me if you can. Let me know.
Must have got lost in the mail. You're not on the radio, on the worldwide radio email list, I think.
I guess not. Listen, so what do you think, man, when you see... Well, actually, hang on. Self-serving one more time. Dude, you're the program director. Give Anna and Raven 10 more... Let them cut two songs out in the morning. Let them talk more. I want to hear them talk more.
I'm telling you, they tell us that all the time, but people like the songs. Like that, like they
don't
the
get rid
songs
of it. Just sort of give us one more break of them talking.
You can come to our next morning show meeting, and you can be on their side, and then we can have a debate on the amount of songs during the Anna and Raven show.
I'd actually like to hear you talk more too, to be honest with you. I mean, like I said before, like it's, you come into it and you hear this. You know, I was checking you out, you know, because like. I know you, and that's a guy I listen to, and like I've heard him. Like I'd love to hear you have, you know, 5 more minutes an hour just to run your mouth or talk about, you know, hey, today, or you know, my wife, or just telling some story, you know.
Well, it's interesting. That sort of segues into, you know, we're starting to, I know we're on a podcast right now, but we're starting to podcast a lot more. There's two ways that we podcast on the radio station. We repurpose things that happen. So during the Anna and Raven show, they do couples court or they do an interview or whatever, and they'll put the audio online and that'll be a podcast. But then we're also just starting to develop, you know, unique content that doesn't air on the radio, but is just, yes, you know, a podcast on the website. So to your point, you know, I talked for maybe 20 seconds over the intro to Imagine Dragons, but then I'll put up, maybe I have a podcast that's 20 minutes long about how it's the history of Imagine Dragons, you know?
That's
so
awesome.
So it's sort of like the two platforms lend themselves to the individual listener of what they want. Yeah. And then using that 20-second break to say, hey, if you want to know more about this, you know, I actually did a 20-minute podcast about it. You can listen to it on star99.com or whatever.
Dude,
I haven't done that podcast yet. But
no, but you should. That's amazing. I think that exclusive content you can get that way is a great way to do it. But the problem is that you'll get, you know, people want to sell it and make money off of it. And then, you know, what you got to do, and I understand that, I mean, for sure, yeah. But you know, then it gets to where it's, you know, I've had people complain about this podcast. Like, I'll do this show, and, you know, when we're live, people will log in live, and they have to hear 2.5 minutes of commercials before it goes to the live broadcast. And I know they, but I'm like, listen, it's got to pay for itself somehow, you know?
Welcome to the world of radio for the past, I don't know, 4 decades. Right. Yeah. People have been complaining about commercials since radio's inception, you know? Yeah. But you know, like you said, like, and like I was talking about earlier, like radio's free, and also, you know, at the end of the day, our license, our FCC license says that we serve the community. So, you know, a lot of our clients are local clients on our stations with Connoisseur. And so like a lot, we're helping out these local businesses at the same time. It's not like it's not just like, hey, let's take all this money. And like, we're a business. We're out to make a profit, but we're also helping these local businesses in Connecticut to sustain, you know? So it's sort of, you know, that's part of our whole thing as a local radio station here in Connecticut is to help the local businesses as well. You know, it's sort of like a give and take.
But you guys are just, I mean, you're a local station, like you're saying. I think I actually would argue you're downplaying a little bit because you're just a humble guy, but you guys have done really well. Like you're killing it. Like your ratings are great. Like you're doing amazing.
The ratings, you know, here in, so Star is technically a Bridgeport station, even though the signal sort of goes across the entire state. So our city of license is Bridgeport, and the surrounding towns around Bridgeport. Right. So the ratings come out because there's different markets in Connecticut. It gets really confusing. That's like a whole different podcast. But So our ratings that just came out this past spring were really good. We were sort of like an easy listening type station for years and years and years. And then in 2012, you know, sort of music started to change a little bit, and our format is called Hot AC. It's Hot Adult Contemporary. So we sort of transitioned from easy listening to, like, you know, more of a top 40, for lack of a better term, type sound.
Yeah.
And that really worked for us. And then, you know, obviously the success of Anna and Raven, you know, with a radio station, really your success is on morning show, right. Marketing and music. That's really when you talk about and brands. So when you talk about successful radio stations, you know, they're big brands and they have a big branded morning show because the morning show leads off the day.
Right.
So you can have a great afternoon show, you can have a great midday person, you can have at work listening that's really great, you can have a night show, but really the morning show gets the ship going in the morning.
You know, Dave and I's next band was actually going to be called Hot AC. That was our new band.
You get a lot of radio play, maybe, on Hot AC station.
Hey, listen, let me ask you, man. So, I mean, because it becomes, and I think the answer, I'm going to say the answer, it's like Jeopardy here. I think the answer here is because it becomes more locally centric. But I think you're seeing more and more restaurant type people, restaurant businesses, kind of getting back into working with local radio because it's such a, you know, it's such a direct shot to the people they want to have come to their businesses. I mean, are you seeing that more now? Because we definitely had a downfall of that for a minute where everybody, all the ads you hear on radio were all about, you know, my sleep pillow or my juicer or some, like, you know, some dick pill or whatever it was, you know? But we're getting back to right. More local.
Yeah, we've seen that, local restaurants and local that have advertised with us, you know, have really had success with what they do, and it's all how they do it. So, you know, really it becomes like a multifaceted advertising campaign. So we'll do events at their place, you know, they'll have one of their people from the restaurant come on the morning show, we'll do a podcast with them, maybe we'll do a fun video. We do a bunch of different things to sort of encompass it. And then from there it'll go forward to so it's not just about the radio commercials. You know, that's what a lot of clients don't really understand, or a lot of businesses don't understand, is like, okay, I'm going to buy this ad schedule and like hopefully everything will be great and I'll run like two ads a week. It's like, no, that's not how it works anymore. Like you know, there's a whole, you know, sort of thing that you have to create to sort of promote your restaurant or your brand or whatever it is, you know. And then part really events and personalities, you know, a lot of restaurants have interesting personalities like yourself, like so there's a chef maybe that's awesome, or like someone, or the owner is really funny or something like that.
Interesting might be a stretch. I don't know.
But it's true. Like I think the restaurant business and the radio business have a lot in common, more than some people think. Just because of the nature of, you know, we do a ton of events, and the events have to happen somewhere, and a lot of times they happen at restaurants,
sure.
or at breweries, or like outdoor, you know, restaurants with a big outdoor patio, or whatever
it
might
booze,
be.
They have license, they have insurance. It just makes life easier to go
right.
there. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
It can be like a symbiotic relationship. But what I think is important here to know is that, you know, some restaurants and local businesses, you know, advertising on radio may not be as expensive as you think it is. That's what I think is, you know, I learned that back in Virginia, as a matter of fact, that, you know, you there's a lot to get out of it. And I think you're seeing more and more, like you were talking about, where you have these stations come and doing events at your place and they'll promote it. And these are all good things. And there's things happening in your business, or there's action going on like a night where not normally it normally isn't. That's a good thing, especially when people are talking about it leading up to it. Even if it's not hitting a ton of people, it's still being talked about. That's what matters.
Totally. And in like you were saying earlier, people listen to people that they like and that they trust.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who drive to work and listen to Anna and Raven every morning, you know, if Anna and Raven are talking about, you know, whatever restaurant down the street that they're doing an event at, that person's going to pay attention, and they're going to trust their opinion because they, and you know, I can tell you, you know, being completely honest, you know, a lot of people might, the argument to that is like, well, Anna and Raven are just talking about that place because they advertise.
Yes.
But we really take pride in the fact that, you know, pretty much all the places that they're at least restaurant wise, you know, we frequent. I would say pretty much every restaurant that advertises, Anna will go to with her daughter or for some restaurant that we've never been to, you know.
The comedy club the other week. It's probably 2 months ago at this point. That's how my life goes. But you know that they are an advertiser, but we went there and hung out and had a great time.
Yeah, exactly. So like it sort of fits the fabric of, and then we post on Instagram that we're there. Like it sort of fits the whole fabric of like us as radio personalities living in Connecticut and going to these places that also advertise. It's like its own, you know, it sort of goes together, you know.
100%, man. I couldn't agree more. It goes together completely. So what do you think, man, as an actual radio professional, as a guy who does this, like this is your job, you get paid, you're a program director, you're not just like a DJ, like you've worked your way up, you busted your ass, you've paid dues, and now everybody on the planet has a podcast, and everybody on the planet thinks that they can be a host, and everybody on the planet thinks that they can do this, man. I mean, that's got to hit you kind of in a bit of a sour way, right?
Well, you know, I like to be positive about it. I think that, you know, I think just like anything, there's people who are good at it and people who aren't good at it, and the cream rises to the top. So like, so people who are really good, you know, people are going to find their podcast. The only difference with podcasting is that like you said, people can do it from their basement or their kitchen, and they can do it right on their laptop. And if they have a little, like, even if they have a little audience, if you have a topic that people are really interested in,
right,
you can not be that good, and you're going to have an audience still.
I mean, we went on this program here. We went from me talking to myself to all of a sudden now. Listen, in the podcast world, I don't know if it's a lot. We'll do, you know, well over 10,000 downloads or 12,000 downloads, and I don't know if it's a lot, but that's a lot to me. I think it's pretty cool. Or we'll have,
yeah,
you know, 1,400, 1,500 people listening live right now. I'm sure they're getting annoyed at me because of my technical issues, which is, I wish you knew what was happening, because you would be like, wow, that guy's actually pretty good. But that's an audience to me. Like, that's, I mean, listen, in Dover, Delaware, that's their entire audience, you know?
About the radio business?
Yeah, I mean, that's all the
podcasts.
Just in general, like the audience in general, like, it just, whether it's small, whether it's large, having, you know, obviously on the radio, you're going to talk to more people, but that amount of people, the time they listen is very different than people who listen to a podcast, I guess is my point.
Exactly. So it's true. People listen to a radio station sort of casually. So, you know, the average time that people listen to, like, Star is, like, anywhere from, like, 9 to 11 minutes at a time. Yeah. So, like, so that's sort of the average. So people – and that's not to say, like, they turn it off because they don't like what's happening. They might just arrive at work, or right, they have to drop off the kids, or they get home from work or whatever, and they just shut off the station. But a podcast, like you said, like, people are invested for an hour or 30 minutes or however long the podcast is,
yeah,
because because they sought it out, and it's on demand, and it's something, a topic that they're interested in that they want to listen to while they're running on the treadmill or driving their an hour commute or road trip or whatever.
Well, taking a page out of radio's book, man. So last week, Dave and I, Dave, you can talk about this too a little bit if you want. We did a live show in Danbury, of all places. This program was live, and
oh, nice!
It was a sold out crowd. We had alcohol. Fisher's Island Lemonade came down. We had Stretch Rumner, who is a very, very big name in the barbecue world. He was our guest. We had a, you know, chair set up on a stage and lighting, and it was amazing. It was so fun. I couldn't believe how quickly the event sold out. It was done. I mean, we didn't charge for tickets. You know, it was just, hey, come hang out, right, and, you know, but you had to register to be there. And I mean, we were going to do 25 people at the end. We were over 47. And, like, I was like, dude, you got to stop. Like, we don't have room for all this stuff. But it was fun to see that, like, a live broadcast situation on a Tuesday night. People were still, they were like, oh, this is so great. They couldn't wait to come.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, a lot of podcasts that I listen to, I, you know, do live shows like that, mm-hmm, and I think it's great. So it doesn't, like you asked earlier, does it make me think, like, oh, like, we've been doing this for years in radio, right, like, look at all these podcasters. I don't feel that way, because I feel like it sort of validates radio in a way, and, you know, like I was saying earlier about us creating, you know, radio stations creating their own podcasts and their own content, you know, we sort of have an advantage, and the radio industry needs to take advantage of the ability that these radio people have. Like, so professional broadcasters and audio editors, and we have these amazing studios to make, you know, perfect sound. Like, we should be able to create the best podcasts. And, you know, places like NPR with Serial, like, they produce that, so yeah, they do a fantastic job. But that's sort of a perfect example of a radio station creating sort of the best content for a podcast, because they have the equipment and they have the people and they've been doing it for years.
Dude, I have an idea. We should talk offline. My brain's, like, twisting a million miles an hour with you talking about podcasts and stuff, and how you guys are looking at digital content, like, exclusive content now.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I think that the, you know, there's a lot of talk in the radio industry about, like, you know, what radio stations are going to survive, you know, through the digital sort of age,
yeah,
and podcasting and all that. And some people sort of laugh at podcasting.
Aren't we through it? I'm not trying to interrupt you, but aren't we through that? Like, I feel like that was a couple of years ago. Like, we're through that. Like,
well, the next hurdle is going to be the cars. So the next giant hurdle for radio is the dashboard. So that's all everyone talks about, mm-hmm, is the connected dashboard. So once people have the internet which they do pretty much already, but once it's the norm and you have the internet in your car, and then, you know, a little further down the road when you have autonomous cars and self-driving vehicles and ride sharing and all that, how is radio going to stay? Because radio really has been surviving on the car, because, right, you know, it's, radio sort of lost the home until these smart speakers started to come out.
Right.
And they sort of have succeeded in the car still, because, you know, people listen in their commutes. But once people you know, in the future can just sit in their car and watch Netflix. You know, why would somebody turn on Starry 9.9? And that's where, like, the content that we create now, we do so much video content. We do, you know, personalities like Ann Raven and myself and everybody, and podcasting and stuff like that. That's where you have to get ahead of it now, so that 20 years down the road, you still have a big brand that people are going to want to pay attention to, you know?
Hanging out tonight with Kevin Begley, program director and host for Connoisseur Media's Star 99.9. Follow him at Kevin Begley on Insta and check him out weekdays from 3 to 7 at star99.9.com.
How about that radio voice, huh? That was all right.
That was nice. Yeah, you come in and do some live reads for us.
There you go. Sounds good. And I'm not going to lie, he bought time while I grabbed another bottle of wine. That's all I'm saying.
Nice.
well, Kevin, man, it's honestly, I look at how I think that, in my personal opinion, that radio is having almost a resurgence, like I was saying. And I love radio, man. I grew up on radio. Like, I grew up listening to radio, like, nonstop. Like I said before, you know, I was a big Opie and Anthony fan. I was a big Don and Mike fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember being in Richmond and in fifth grade listening to the top five at 10 on Q94. Like, I remember so hardcore about doing it. I felt like you were saying before, almost the digital stuff and cars and whatnot and how it's going to change. But I felt like that we kind of went through a whole digital phase already. But I think, in my opinion, you're seeing like a resurgence of kind of local radio making its comeback for it and how it's helping things with smaller restaurants and whatnot. What would you think would be the benefit of a restaurant, you know, working with a radio station as opposed to working with, you know, television or something else?
Well, I think radio plays a part, plays a more personal part in people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, that's not taking anything away from television, but, you know, I think Ken, people, man, have a
come
more
on,
personal.
Come on, just say it. So TV people suck. Just say it.
I love TV people. No, but I think people, you know, for example, you're driving to work, maybe you have a 40-minute commute, and you're listening to Ann and Raven, or you're listening to whoever you listen to in the morning, and you're by yourself in your car with that person in a speaker, you know, a foot from your ear. So, like, and you have this personal relationship with that radio personality. And I feel like people have personal relationships at restaurants, you know? Like they really are. If you love a restaurant in your town, you're going to tell everybody about it. You're going to bring your friends who visit from out of town. You might know the manager or the bartender, or you really have a personal relationship with that restaurant, and you trust that restaurant. You trust the bartender. You trust
right.
your favorite server, the chef, whoever it may be. I think it's a very similar relationship to a restaurant that people have with radio stations. Because when I do events, I have people come up all the time, and, you know, for example, this is kind of a funny example. Last year, I got married last August. Not this past August, a year ago August, and I did this endorsement. I don't know if we can say the names of places, but I did an endorsement for a gym. So I did a Planet Fitness sort of endorsement leading up to the wedding,
right,
where I got in shape for the wedding. So at every event,
man, you're looking
throughout
good.
The summer.
You're looking like a beastie, man. You're doing well for yourself.
Well, thanks. I try. No, but for every event. Every event that I did leading up to that wedding, I had at least one person come up to me and be like, "So when's the wedding? Oh, congratulations on the wedding!" And in my head, I was like, "Wait, how did they know about the wedding?" And then I was like, "Oh, right, because all those spots were running where I was saying
right.
I'm working out a Planet Fitness game." So that shows because we created a story arc. We created a people like drama.
Yeah.
People like stories. So people like that I was, you know, they listen and they hear, oh, this guy is working out to try to get in shape for his big day, and they pay attention to it. And then when they see me at the event, they compliment my wedding or whatever, and that's how it resonates.
In general.
And then when they talk about a place or a business or a restaurant, they're gonna maybe go there next time they drive by. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it makes sense, and I think that's why. Like you said, it creates a story arc. I think that's the best way to put it. It creates a story arc, you know, and people want to check that part out and be a part of that.
And that's the other way that radio, you know, you were saying earlier, like, how does radio sort of, you know, going forward, how does it keep going? And it's really with personalities. It's personalities, like you said, music you can get anywhere. We play music because people like music.
Sure.
But you know, radio personalities and events and stuff like that. And I really, you know, my personal opinion is I think, I don't know when it will happen, but eventually advertising on radio will all be endorsement based. So like when you listen to a radio station now, you hear some of the commercials are endorsements, like me talking about Planet Fitness, and some of them are just recorded produced spots.
Right.
I think eventually it will be so embedded, sort of like podcasting right now. So like, so there's ads and podcasts where people talk about very naturally about the products. That's radio endorsements that radio has been doing for decades. So that's all that is. So when podcasting first came out, that's what a lot of the radio industry was saying. Like, well, they're just doing endorsements. Like that's all they're doing. So that's, I think, really all the advertising on radio eventually will just be endorsements.
I mean, Kevin, the endorsements and the stuff that's worked into podcasts, it's really, really annoying because you hear two people on the air together, on the radio, cutting it up, much like an Ergo Chef Knife, cutting it up, you know, chopping things up when you're at work and whatnot. Ergo Chef Knives in Danbury, Connecticut, you know, they're super sharp. They can cut anything. You can use promo code CHEFPLUM15 off to grab yourself a great discount on an already made knife. But no one wants to hear anything about that, right?
See, that's the future.
Zing.
See, it works.
But yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly, I mean, you're right. That's the way it's going to go. It's just kind of built into it, right? It's just kind of built into it. Especially if it's a guy who is known to be with a brand, and all of a sudden you see him on things, that's what happens naturally.
Exactly. Yeah. And people who can do it well, especially on podcasting or radio stations, whatever it might be, if you can do it well, you can really resonate with the listener, and then that helps the business who's advertising. I think if the product makes sense for whatever the podcast is or the radio show is or the radio station is, I think the more it's embedded like that, the listener is going to react to it, and they're not just going to turn it off or flip the channel or whatever.
Right. It's like keeping everything in line, kind of like line threads. Kitchenware made for kitchen cooks. That's right. Line threads. Great culinary apparel for all those great culinarians out there. Check them out at linethreads.com.
See, you're getting good at it.
Sorry. Use promo code Dave Boredom, right? Is that what it is, Dave? I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it's nice to hear, though, because you hear so many guys. I mean, you're such a positive outlook on what you do in general, and you're a very positive guy to begin with. You're a very fun guy to hang out with because you are so positive and nice about it. What's next for radio, man? How does radio compete? Do you think it's having exclusive content digitally to jump in those cars that are Wi-Fi connected, or is it keeping still with the, you know, what brought you to the table, just using, you know, FM radio?
No, so I think it's a combination of both really going forward. I think it depends on how far in the future we're talking about. If you're talking about when self-driving cars are around and ride sharing and people aren't driving anymore, then yeah, then big brands will survive. So like big brands and big personalities and radio stations that create, you know, video content that people are really loving now, and then it evolves over the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years that they need to see it. And there's in the community involvement too. So that's the other thing that is huge for radio that a lot of people forget, especially living where we live in the Northeast. Like, you know, think about all these crazy towns in the country, small towns, big towns, like throughout the entire country, that people rely on their radio stations to have events and to support the local businesses and all that. And you know, I honestly, as much as a lot of the people in radio, at least people that I've worked with, are always, you know, people try to get to the big markets, the top 10 markets. So it's like, oh, you want to work in New York or LA or Boston or you know, but Chicago. But when you think about it, like those big cities, I would argue it's harder to do radio in New York City or LA because you're competing with, in LA, you're competing with movie stars and you're the entertainment industry, and you don't really have the local community feel as like you do here in Connecticut or, you know, in suburban, whatever state you want to pick.
I mean, the number one station in New York City, the number one station in New York City is a Spanish station.
Right, exactly. So, and it's hard for those stations in those cities. I mean, I've never worked at a radio station in New York City, but we're pretty close by. I would imagine that it's tough to do a local, to set up a tent in at a local 5K and have your morning show go out there and like talk to people one-on-one like we do here in Connecticut all the time, every single weekend. You know, I just think it would be a little harder, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think community involvement, personalities, in compelling content and big brands is what's going to make radio survive going forward. I think eventually a day will come where, you know, maybe music isn't being played all the time, you know, down the road. Maybe music stations aren't playing as much music or something, or it's a combination of content and music. Like, it's more of an even, you know, layout than as it is now outside of the morning show, where it's whatever it is, whatever the next, you know, crazy trend is. You just got to stay on top of it, and you got to be where your listeners are. So, like, your listeners wake up with their smartphones. Like, if you're not on all those social media platforms and posting at 6 a.m, or you're not posting a video at, you know, when people are waking up or when they're on the couch at 8 o'clock, like, you're behind the ball, you know.
Dude, it's amazing how much that's changed everything. You know, it really has changed the entire game.
Yeah, because you know what, like, you're not just competing with the station across the street anymore. I mean, I got rid of that mentality at least 5 or 10 years ago, where, like, competing with the other stations, like, because you're not anymore. You're competing with Netflix. You're competing with YouTube. You're really vying for people's attention. So you're competing with the internet. You're competing with social media. You're competing with Snapchat. Like, all these other things, podcasts. You're not competing with the station across the street. They're your ally, really. And
right.
They're your buddy. You're competing with all these other.
You're so right on that, man. It's like the Army and the Navy. Like, you're the station across the street. They're the Navy, and you're the Army, and you're also fighting the same war, right?
Exactly. I always compare it to professional sports. Like, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox, those guys go have stakes after the game. So they're competing. They're competing on the field because they want to win. Of course, everyone does. But, you know, those teams are businesses, and they're making money, and they want to win, and they want to do well. But at the same time, you know, David Ortiz and Derek Jeter used to go have stakes. So, like, you know, because they're buddies, because they're still baseball players. You know, we're radio people, and we still hang out with each other, and we're friendly. Whereas back in the day, it was really like cutthroat. With stations, you know, just competing against each other.
They hated each other, right? You guys couldn't stand each other.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's still some of that. I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that there's not that still in markets and between stations and stuff, but I just think the right road to take is that you're competing with all these other things and not just the station across the street.
Hey, so listen, all-encompassing, not just, I mean, obviously you check out your own station and do your own thing. But who do you listen to when you're not listening to Star? Like, what do you check out? Like, whether it's satellite or whether it's podcast, or what do you like?
Oh, man, I listen to everything. I'll be honest, I have a shorter commute now. So I used to live in Hartford, and I would commute to Milford, and I would listen to so many things.
For those of you don't know, that's probably a solid hour and a half commute right there, hour and 20 commute.
Oh, yeah. On a good day, it was like 45 minutes to 50 minutes. So I would power through so many podcasts. But to answer your question, so radio-wise, I basically listen to every station in Connecticut. I listen to the New York City stations just to see what they're up to, just to see what they're doing. Like, luckily, in Southern Connecticut, you can hear all the New York City stations, and you can hear the Connecticut stations and Hartford station and all that. And then I listen to satellite radio, you know, because I know some people work over there, and I just like how they program, because they program it like a radio station. So, you know, I listen to Alt Nation. I listen to XMU. The Yacht Rock channel on Sirius is really fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I flip back and forth to all those stations. I'm still, you know, I still love listening to Stern interviews.
Sure.
I think his regular content isn't as good as it used to be in his heyday when he was on, you know, FM radio. But but his interview, he's still the best interviewer on the earth. Like, he's so good.
Ron Bennington.
So good at. Oh, Ron Bennington's really good too. I like him a lot. But Stern is just a really good interview.
Sorry. This is shop talk we could have. Like, I don't know, man. Stern's great, but dude, Ronnie B, come on.
I like Ron Bennington. He's really great. You know, obviously, like you said, Opie and Anthony, I was a huge ONA fan, so I like Jim Norton a lot. He's still on satellite. And then podcast-wise, one that I just discovered, you know, in the past, I don't know, three or four months, is Dax Shepard has that podcast, Armchair Expert.
Really?
You don't like it?
I don't know. All right, so listen, you may convince me, man, because these actors who I think can host things drive me crazy. Is he good? I haven't heard it. It's
really
not fair.
Good. Okay. Now, what you should do, if you're going to check it out, you need to find an episode where you're interested in the guest.
Okay.
Much like most podcasts. So, like, if someone doesn't like radio and they don't like me, then they're not going to listen to this.
Right.
But if you look through his podcast and you say, oh, like, I'm really interested in, I don't know, Jason Bateman or Seth Rogen or whoever it is, it's worth checking out, because he is really good, actually. He's a I wasn't a huge fan of his movies and stuff before I listened to that podcast, but I've become a bigger fan since listening to it. I'm totally honest.
I might disagree with you a little bit there, because I think that they don't have to be a fan of you. They'll check the show out because they like the show, like listen to what they're doing. But like, for instance, an example of that for me is that, you know, I love Joe Rogan's show. Joe Rogan, arguably one of the biggest podcasts
really
on the planet.
Yeah.
And he'll have guys on. I have no fucking idea who they are, and they're on the show, and it's a great show. You know, after I listen to it, I'm like, you know, I like bow hunting, and I'll start looking that shit up. I don't know. I'd love to be a competitive cave diver. That sounds amazing. Let's look that shit up.
But that definitely shows the talent of the host. Like, Joe Rogan's just a really unique guy. Like, he can make anyone sound really interesting. Like, he's so just really good at it. And that's sort of how I feel about, you know, we were talking about Stern earlier. So I sort of feel that way about him. You know, I'm kind of bouncing around, but on the TV side, I'm a huge Conan O'Brien fan.
Sure.
And I feel like Conan always could interview like anyone that I don't care about, and he would make it funny.
That's true.
He's so good at making interviews great.
That's true.
And then, yeah, that's pretty, you know, I have a whole list of podcasts that I just go through and just bounce around to each one. You know, I obviously loved Serial when that first came out, like the fictional stuff, like I thought was really good. But yeah, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't get to listen to as much stuff as I used to because I don't have a long commute. But yeah, I try to listen to pretty much everything because I get ideas from stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I think it's amazing to see the guys who are, you hold a position of power in radio. You know, traditional FM radio are checking out podcasts and checking out these other forms of media. Obviously, I think you have to, but there's so many guys who probably don't, you know, who wouldn't think to try to do their homework, so to speak. And here you are, you know, checking everything out, which I think is awesome. I mean, listen, I had Westwood One reach out to me, and I remember Westwood One when I was a kid. They would do the Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla show, Loveline. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I was listening to Loveline late nights. I remember being in culinary school, sitting in my dorm room with headphones on, listening to that show. And it was by Westwood One. And when Westwood One reached out to me and said, hey, we want to put your podcast on our platform, I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, that's awesome. Like, to me, that was like a big thing. Is it a big deal? No, not really. They probably have thousands of them. But it still felt pretty cool because you see guys like, to me, that's regular radio people in my world.
Right.
I'm probably wrong, but in my brain, that's what it is.
Oh, no, you're right. Westwood One's like one of the biggest companies in the business. I mean,
they're not giving me any money, Kevin, just FYI. But it's another distribution point. That's all. Like, it doesn't cost me anything, you know?
Right. But no, you're right. There are people in the radio business who don't even listen to podcasts at all. And in my mind is always like, you know, how are you ever going to create your own podcast with your station personalities or compete with podcasts if you're not listening to them? And like, wouldn't you have an interest in it? Like audio is sort of more popular than it ever has been, with podcasts, with smart speakers, with people talking to each other. And that's what radio was built on, you know, human communication. That's what I majored in college, communication. Like, so that's, you know, communication and audio and voice are like bigger than they ever have been. I mean, look at us right now. We're doing a podcast at 11 o'clock at night on through a laptop, like just talking to each other.
Yeah.
That's where
a fun conversation. Like, it's not just dick jokes. Like, it's a fun conversation. Like, it's educational to me and for other people, I'm sure, man. Listen, so let me ask you this. So I guess in closing, because you've got to go to bed, because I'm sure you have to be at work. Even though your show isn't on until the afternoon, I bet you get to work at like 8 a.m. or something crazy.
Oh, yeah. Almost exactly. Sometimes earlier. No, yeah. People always say, like, wait, you're on the afternoon. You can sleep till like 2. Nope, those days are over.
Program director.
Radio stations, people wear a lot of hats. Like, there's meetings. There's things to do before 3 o'clock. I always say 3 to 7 is like my fun play time because I'm just playing music and talking on the radio. And then, you know, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., I get meetings. And I mean, it's still fun because we're at a radio station. But you know, it's meetings and you know, business stuff.
Right, and that's not very fun, but it's still part of the deal. It's what you have to do. But I love the fact that you're looking into doing, like, exclusive content, you know, whether it's podcasts and then promote it on the other side. Do you think you'll see more of that coming from guys like yourself and, you know, maybe the morning show and people like that, or your midday guy? By the way, your new midday guy, don't let him do it. He's terrible. I'm kidding. It's very, very cool you guys promoted him, which is awesome.
Yeah, he's – I'll just answer that real quick. He's the producer for the NN Raven show, and he was part-time and did weekends for us, and then he started being the producer in the past year for NN Raven, and he's a really smart kid. He's a really talented kid. He's in his 20s. He loves radio. So he was a really unique individual, and we auditioned a whole bunch of people, and he made the most sense.
Wait, hang on a second. I gotta find some. Dave, did we get an email about a audition for midday show at Star? Did we get that or no?
I didn't. It possibly might have gone to my junk folder. I'll check that one.
All right, yeah, but, see it. All right, sorry. Kevin,
I must have got lost. Sorry, I didn't send you the link to the job to the job description. but anyway, I'm sorry. What was the question before that?
Sorry, I messed you all up. Look, ignore that question because it was going to lead nowhere good. That's for damn sure. Hey, let me ask you this, man. Our next live show, I'd love to have you come and hang with us, man. Would your station let you do that? Just come and hang with us and sit on the panel and just, you know, chime in whenever you feel like it. Would they be cool with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll plug the station. Like, you know, we'll do all that good stuff. But would they let you hang? Because your radio voice is just, it drives me crazy. Like, seriously, like, I'm writing love notes to you right now.
People say that all the time, and it's so weird to me because, like, some people will put on a voice. I don't really put on a voice. I just sort of.
That's your regular
talk,
voice. I can vouch for that. This is your voice. I've hung out with you at a bar having drinks. This is your regular voice.
Right. So I would do a live show. Absolutely. That would be a blast. I'd be so into that.
It's fun. You have to drink. I know you can't say to me whether you're drinking now or not, but you have to drink when you're there. Is that cool?
I'm fine with that. If it's on a weekend, maybe a Thursday even would be fine.
Right.
I'm totally fine with that.
How soon till the baby comes? I gotta figure out timing for you.
Right. Exactly.
It's tricky because when you have the kid, you can't go anywhere for a while. That's all I'm saying. You just got to figure that
right,
part
so
out.
Right. So I'm going to be sort of like on the couch, like doing nothing for a while, I think.
No, don't say that. Your wife will shoot you. You're never doing nothing. You're always doing things.
Nothing outside of the house. I'll be helping a lot. Inside, in the living room. And the
whatever
baby,
needs
all
to be done, right?
Yeah, exactly. Changing diapers.
Right. Now, you're a Boston guy. Are you a Patriots fan?
I am a Patriots fan.
All right,
fan.
Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been a great time hanging out. No, I'm a diehard Steelers fan, man.
I grew up in Massachusetts. So, you know, my dad took me to all the games when I was a kid. So that's what I always tell people. I've met so many people who, you know, living in all these different places who, like, hate the Boston teams. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I was going to games when I was, like, three. Like, of course I'm going to like all those teams.
Yeah, listen, and I'm joking, of course. And I'm from Virginia, and I grew up a Steelers fan. And I moved up here with my wife and her family who are all New England fans. And I can't help but hate him, but why do you hate him? Why? Because they constantly win and have a great team and are doing amazing. That's why
I hate him.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I think it's the fans more than the teams. I think people who hate Boston teams hate the fans because a lot of the fans are obnoxious, which I will agree with.
Dude, it's like, have you seen that comedian who does a bit on Guy Fieri? Who is like, why does everybody hate Guy Fieri? He only gives half his money to homeless kids, and he builds shelters, and it's hysterical.
Somebody sent me that link, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, it's so on point, the entire bit that he does about Guy Fieri. It's so great.
It's so on point, man. Well, Kev, dude, you're awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time and coming on. I apologize for our technical issues. Next time this, we won't have them, but... Yeah, I think when we have a PR show, Dave, it might be cool to have Kevin on with the PR girls or whatever, just to get different points of view.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, this was super fun, guys. Like, I'll do it anytime, anytime you want.
You're the man, dude. I appreciate it, brother. Dave, tell me I can learn more about Kevin.
All right. Joined tonight by Kevin Begley, program director and host for Connoisseur Media Star 99.
Like when I segue you, like, hey, tell them about Kevin. You don't have to start. You don't have to like actually pull up the text and read it where it says join tonight. You can skip that part and just get it.
I'm learning, bro.
Look, Kevin, man, you're the man, man. I appreciate you coming on tonight, man. Thank you so much for your time, dude. Literally, I'm gonna come by during your show. I'm gonna text you and say, hey, dude, I'm coming over. I'm just going to sit in, and when you have your talking breaks where you can talk for 10 seconds, which I think you should be able to talk more, I'm just going to be like, plumlefoods.com, Chef Plum on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. Text me anytime you want to come by. And again, thank you so much. I know we've been trying to set it up for a little while, so thank you for having me on. This was so fun.
You're awesome, man. Open door. Anything I can ever do, man, please don't hesitate to shoot me a text. And I appreciate your time tonight.
Absolutely. And Dave, it was nice meeting you via podcast.
Oh, it was great meeting you.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, there he goes. And make sure you follow Kevin, of course, on Instagram, at Kevin Bagley on Instagram. You can find him right there. He's a good dude. It's just cool to hear guys like him talk about that to gentlemen like myself and like Dave. Guys, we don't know anything about that kind of work, do we, Dave?
Not at all, honestly. I mean, you can tell when I'm on the radio or doing the podcast with you that I have no idea what I'm doing. So,
dude, you're kicking ass. It's awesome. People love you. It's fine. This is why we do it. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. How cool is Kevin, though? Isn't that a cool guy? It's a good brother right there.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Excited to see if we can actually get him on the show and do a live one with him.
I would love. Wouldn't it be great to have a real radio guy sitting beside us?
That'd be dope.
And he, every time I drop an F bomb, he just stares at me. Or you, I drop an F bomb, and you're like, "That's good." yeah, but it's a good brother. It's a lot of listen. We had some technical issues during that episode, and a couple of dropouts in there, and we're gonna fix that. And I apologize for that. But there's a lot of good info there. And I think if you're looking for marketing info for your restaurant or marketing info for yourself as a private chef, check this show out, man. Because there's some stuff to learn there. I think Dave, wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's some stuff there that I think you could take to heart.
Definitely.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. Listen, Dave, I have to get up in the morning and finish editing a video. I still haven't really had like time to relax yet, but I have to edit a video. Then I'm in the big city of New York on Thursday in Tribeca, the mean streets of Tribeca.
Nice,
and you're off tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going to the beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got a good friend you've met that you've been friends with for a long time you're going to the beach with, right?
Not really a long time, just kind of hanging out. So
yeah, I mean, it's like a year or so or something, right? Like, you guys are old friends.
Not really. Not even like that long.
Good luck, brother. Much love for you. Please take a knife with you. Enjoy the beach. It's beautiful out there. I think you'll like it.
I'm going to take an Ergo Chef pocket knife with me.
Oh. Yeah. What kind of knife is that?
Ergo Chef pocket knife.
Ooh, Ergo Chef. You can find this at ergochef.com. If they use promo code ChefPlum, or is it Plum 15 off? Try them both. You'll grab yourself a great discount on an already made knife. Hey, I'm actually, you know what video I'm working on? Their air fryer. We shot that, and I'm actually editing it, believe it or not.
Nice.
Let me tell you what, the wing recipe that I came up with that goes with the air fryer is fucking to die for, bro. I'm not even making that shit up.
So you're going to be making some wings next time we hang out?
Bro, when those air fryers come in, I'm making wings all day, baby. 20 minutes, they're delicious. Like, fucking fall off the bone, unbelievable.
Nice.
It
I'm ready.
It took me 2 days to come up with it, but I got it. That's it.
Was it like tricky to figure out the measurements and everything, like transformation or, you know, conversion for it?
Oh yeah, dude, the whole thing. Yeah, all that bullshit. Like all that.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Well, check it out, dude. Let's end this program. You ready? Let's put a knife in this one. It's been trying to die since 10:15 because it keeps cutting out on me. I'm probably gonna edit it out and edit out the fucking dead spots. But I have an idea, and I'm gonna call you in a bit. Is that cool?
Sure.
Let's end this program right here. Let me turn this music on. Hold it. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chef Plum. Please follow me at Chef_Plum on Instagram. Follow Dave at Dave Boredom. And, of course, please rate, review, and subscribe to this program. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Dave, I'll see you next week.
All right, brother.
Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.